name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's a good question. You hear that said very often when you're watching people be interviewed on talk television news shows. You might hear that statement if you're at work talking with a fellow worker, or maybe even in a conversation that you might have with a child or with your parent. That's a good question. But usually when that statement is made, that's a good question, they're actually trying to delay the answer because they're not sure they have the answer to the question. That's a good question. Today, there is a good question that you have heard. It's found in the Old Testament. The people of Israel are asking this question of God, and this is how it went. Behold, you were angry, and we have sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? That's a good question. But it's not up to us to answer. It's actually an answer we want given to us by the one to whom we address it. Shall we be saved? The people who asked that question originally are being very honest in their description of themselves. We have sinned, and in our sins we have been a long time. It's not true just of them. It's true of those of us today who heard those words in the Old Testament reading and who can truthfully speak them. There is something also found in that reading. Behold, you were angry. How did the people of Israel know this? They knew it because of what had happened in their living situation. You see, the Israelites, as you know, had been brought out of Egypt from slavery into freedom. They had been brought into the promised land, and they had now dwelt there for 1,000 years. And you know their history in that period of time is not very good. While there are times of great prosperity and wealth, times of great faithfulness, especially as they enter into the land and come into that which God has described as a land flowing with milk and honey, when they enjoyed his great blessings, they rejoiced also in being his people. But soon, quickly, they departed from God and his word, which he had given to them through Moses on Mount Sinai. Their worship declined. They compromised the truth of God's word with the people and the nations of whom God had said, they shall be removed from the land. And so God's anger was clearly manifest. The blessings that he had promised were not in abundance. They experienced the enemies of God who continually attacked. They lost in battles that in the past they had won. They had to live in hiding, in fear, and they knew the reason why. Because of their rebellion against God. They knew by their own experiences that God was angry with them. God also told them that he was angry with them. He sent them prophets again and again and again, calling them to repentance. Sometimes they listened. Sometimes in their cold-heartedness, they rebelled even further. As it was for the people of Israel long ago, so it is for people of the world today, and yes, even for people of the church today. While we do not live as God's people of old under the old covenant, in which God had made a specific promise to a specific people in a specific land, yet it is very clear through the word of God that indeed we, yes, I mean we as the people of God, live daily in sinfulness like the people of old. The people of the church today also neglect God and His Word. They find ways to compromise it, to change it, to fit into the circumstances of their own life, rather than abiding in the clear Word of God. And because of it, through the Scriptures, we know clearly that God is angry with our sin. And so, the question isn't just that of Israel. It is our question as well. Shall we be saved? And God gives us His answer. As we enter into this season of Advent, as we enter into a new church year, we are reminded that God has given a clear and definitive answer to that question. And the answer is this: in Christ, yes. But apart from Christ, no. And so we enter into the church here. In many ways, like the people who gathered in Jerusalem there on that first Palm Sunday. I've repeated this year after year, but I'll say it again today. This seems a bit odd to start the church year, the Sunday of Advent, when our minds are on the Nativity of our Lord, which we will celebrate in just a few weeks, to be transported back in time through the Scriptures to the events of Palm Sunday, when Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And yet it's a fitting way to begin the church year, to remind ourselves that this is the way we live our lives. We are waiting for the promised deliverance of God. The people of Israel were a people that were waiting. They were waiting for the fulfillment of a promise that God had spoken to their ancestors and to yours, spoken in the Garden of Eden. Spoken actually to Satan, but so that Adam and Eve could hear it. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall strike his heel. That was a promise that God made to Adam and to Eve and to their descendants, that a deliverer would come, who would set them free from the curse of sin and death. God kept that promise. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's how God declared the fulfillment of that promise through the Apostle Paul. But that fulfillment and that salvation was not found in the birth of the seed of the woman, but rather in the fulfillment of His work, for which Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He comes riding on a donkey to be betrayed into the hands of wicked men, to suffer, to die, and on the third day rise from the dead. This is how He comes to fulfill the promise that God had made to redeem His people, to set them free from sin and death, and to give to them salvation. The people of Israel, though, in Jerusalem, were also waiting for a deliverance. Because, you see, Jesus, just shortly before this, had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had sort of gone into hiding. He had lived for a brief time in a little village. We don't even know exactly where it is, but it's called Ephraim. And now the people were wondering, where's Jesus? He always comes to the Passover. He always comes to Jerusalem. And they were waiting and they were watching. And now here He comes. And they cried out as He came, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is He! Blessed is He! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us, Lord, they cried out. But what did they want to be saved from? They did not see the problem from which they needed to be saved as being something within them. They didn't see the problem as being their own sinfulness. Instead, they thought their problem were those guys running around in soldier outfits, the Romans. They saw their problem as a ruler named Pontius Pilate. They saw their problem as being living under the oppression of the Roman government. That's what they thought Jesus was coming to save them from. As you live out your lives, and as you cry out with the people of Israel, "Hosanna, Lord, now save us," take a look at your own life and remember just what it is that you need to be saved from. While you live out your life and you see the difficulties of your life, what you need to be saved from is not all of the circumstances of your life. Bad job, financial troubles, sickness or disease. We could go on and on and on with the things that you would like to have removed from your life. But this is not what you need to be saved from. What you need to be saved from lies within. It is your own sinful nature. And God does just that. For we have witnessed again today that the one who came to save, fulfilling it in his birth, life, and death, and the one who came to Jerusalem mounted on a donkey to bring that salvation to his people, is the one who has come and visited us today. And he has visited us as we have borne witness in the simple waters of holy baptism. He brought salvation not only to Margaret, but he has brought this salvation to each of you who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. And therefore, in holy baptism, God gives you the clear answer to this good question: shall we be saved? And God's answer is yes, because I have baptized you into my Son. What a great and glorious way to begin this Advent season, to begin another church year. To be directed to a God who gives us good answers to our question. Shall we be saved? Yes, is the Lord's answer. And to seal you in that promise, God answers that question in another way today as he comes to you. For just as Jesus came in lowliness and humility to the people who were crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," so he comes to you people today. For we not only hear those words in the gospel reading today, and we will hear them again at the beginning of Holy Week in the Palm Sunday gospel, but those words, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," will be on your lips week after week as we join together in the communion liturgy. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As you sing those words week after week, they're not just words sung into the breeze to be gone in a moment. But these words faithfully confess what God has promised to his people. That he does indeed hear the prayers of his people and he comes to save them. And this is how he comes: in humility, clothed in bread and wine, according to his promise. The Lord comes to save. For he comes in bread and wine to give to you his body and his blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. And this is God's repeated good answer to your good question. With Israel of old today, you say, "Behold, you were angry, and we have sinned. In our sins we have been a long time. And shall we be saved?" And God's answer is loud, and God's answer is clear: in Christ shall we be saved? And that answer is yes. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.